This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's looking very much like New York City is, for now, the epicenter of the COVID-19 crisis here in the United States and perhaps the world. It's a very difficult time to be a New Yorker. The number of confirmed cases is doubling every 3 days, and there's not nearly enough hospital beds and equipment for the influx of patients into the city's hospitals. One hospital in Queens had 13 dead in a single day. And Andrew Cuomo, New York's governor, lashed out last week at the federal government's response.
FEMA says we're sending 400 ventilators. Really? What am I going to do with 400 ventilators when I need 30,000? You pick the 26,000 people who are going to die because you only sent 400 ventilators.
Cuomo got extra ventilators from FEMA eventually, but New York is still on an alarming trajectory, and the full scope of the crisis is already being seen in the city's emergency rooms. Dr. Jessica Van Voorhees is an ER doctor at Methodist Hospital in Brooklyn, and I caught up with her on Thursday as the city's number of confirmed cases passed 20,000. Doctor, how are you doing today?
Another bright and sunny morning, but a little crazy at work, obviously.
Well, tell me what you're seeing this morning.
Well, our numbers certainly continue to rise. I haven't started my shift yet, but I'm ready to go in again as soon as we get off the phone, actually. but, you know, I've been amazed at how many healthy young people I've seen with really severe enough disease to be admitted to the hospital. It's very unusual for me to admit a completely healthy 34-year-old, but I've had patients like that who are in their 30s or early 40s who have no real health problems and are getting admitted to the hospital because they need oxygen. They're struggling to breathe. That's really very unusual. And just the volume, you know, it would be typical in a 12-hour shift to intubate one patient who's critically ill, maybe two, three would be a lot. You would have had a crazy busy shift. And the last shift I worked, I intubated 10 patients in 12 hours.
Now, officially, there are 20,000 confirmed cases here in the city, and we know that testing has really lagged behind where we'd want it to be in a terrible way.
Yeah.
Based on what you're seeing, what would you estimate the true total number of cases are at in the city?
Enormously, enormously larger than that. So we, each day, and, you know, each day at my hospital, we're turning away hundreds of patients who definitely have COVID-19.
You're turning away hundreds every day who definitely have it?
Yes, for sure. More than 100 on, I would say maybe even 200. Monday is typically a busy day. So last Monday, our volume was down. Like the number of patients who came to the ED was down. But obviously with all those intubations, the acuity was up. The thing that's wild too is now seeing case after case after case after case for the past 2 weeks, you know, they really form a pattern. And like I said, some have more GI, gastrointestinal symptoms, some more respiratory, but you can sort of recognize it, you know, pretty quickly at this point when you just see patient after patient. I mean, I almost feel like if another emergency physician tried to tell me that 98% of the patients they're seeing in the ER are all the same disease, I mean, you would never believe it. You say, oh, you must be exaggerating. There's no way they all have it. You just think they all have it. But seriously, every single patient who's presenting to the ED, almost every single patient, really has signs and symptoms of this illness. And even when patients are presenting for something else, for example, oh, I, you know, tripped and twisted my ankle coming down my front steps this morning. If they say they have a broken ankle and they need surgery and you do a chest x-ray. There are all these patients like that that we are incidentally finding that they have COVID-19 in their lungs when we go looking for something else.
Wow.
I think we're underestimating the problem, not by a few hundred people, but by thousands or tens of thousands.
The anxiety level must be very high, too. I understand that you work at a call center as a doctor at the end of the line, giving advice to paramedics in the field in all five boroughs.
Yeah.
Can you give me a sense of what those phone calls are like these days?
Yeah, well, certainly... our EMTs and paramedics in the field are really seeing a lot. And the level of busy, the number of 911 calls the past 2 days has been, again, kind of like orders of magnitude greater than normal. A typical busy day is anything over 4,000 calls in a single day for 911 calls to the fire department. And the past 2 days, we've seen more than 6,000 calls. So
Wow.
Completely crazy. I mean, like, which is amazing too, because, you know, I'm not sure it'll be interesting to see what all of those calls are. But a lot of them, I definitely can tell you, because I get involved in the patients who are cardiac arrest patients. I can tell you that the volume of cardiac arrests in the past 2 days has been astronomical.
You're in an emergency room. We've heard over and over again that doctors in ER do not have the masks, the gowns, the equipment, the basic equipment they need to do the job.
Thankfully, I absolutely do. So my hospital system has done a good job of gathering enough masks and gowns and gloves. We have everything we need. I'm very thankful, and I actually feel really supported by the hospital system. There's been a big push by physicians and nurses in other areas of the hospital to really preserve that PPE for the emergency department.
That's personal protection equipment, right?
Yes. And so there is that fear of running out. And certainly we've heard horror stories from other hospitals, about running out of equipment.
I think we just heard a report about some healthcare worker using a garbage bag as a personal protective equipment at one of the...
I know. I saw that picture, which is awful. I mean, probably works. And, it certainly is like an impervious plastic. It's not a bad choice. But clearly, you'd rather have something that's made for the task. And the truth is, if you're resorting to garbage bags, then it just makes you worry about, what other equipment they're lacking and don't have available.
The CDC recently changed its guidelines to allow the reuse of surgical and N95 masks. It even suggests that healthcare workers could use bandanas or scarves as a last result. How do you feel about that?
Well, so we all agree that, and even the CDC said this, that it's, non-ideal. And any infectious disease expert that you speak to will tell you that is subpar. I think it's the sort of lands in the category of something is better than nothing. But I think we all are pretty thankful that we're not there yet. There's such an outpouring of support from the community. So I've gotten so many offers from well-meaning friends and relatives to sort of like get out their sewing machines and sew me some cloth masks. And I keep having to tell people it's okay. I have appropriate PPE at work. Like, thanks anyway. But, maybe save them for later for when we actually do run out someday down the road.
Have you been tested for the virus?
I have not. The indication for testing is symptoms, and I have not had any symptoms.
So medical workers are not being tested routinely unless they show symptoms?
Correct.
Is that dangerous?
I think it's okay. What we are doing is just wearing a mask. So if I had the virus and I didn't want to spread it to another person, what I would do is wear a surgical mask. And I'm wearing a surgical mask or higher levels of PPE at work anyway, with every single patient.
Are you concerned that it's a silly question to ask. Are you concerned that you're going to get a coronavirus? It sounds to me like you assume you are almost.
Yeah, I do almost assume that we all are, and I'm not worried about it.
Why is that?
Because for most people, it's really a mild illness. I'm 43. My overall mortality rate, if you look elsewhere in the world, is maybe 0.2%. So, you know, those are pretty good odds.
As soon as we get off the phone, I know you're going to head to the hospital and begin your shift again. What is the mood mm-hmm. in the room? How does it feel to be in that room in the ER?
Kind of surreal, kind of unbelievable. And I mean, we're certainly in the thick of it. It just, you wonder how much more you can do. And then, you know, we just try to keep expanding areas where we're seeing these patients. And, you know, we have a tent outside to see these patients. We've, you know, used areas, surgical clinics and areas of the hospital that we wouldn't normally use to see ER patients. We're just sort of taking over every spare bit of real estate in the hospital. And I think we're going to have to continue to do that. So it really changes by the day. And it's certainly not good. It's wild to see something really unfold before your eyes. And you read about it in the paper, and it's happening right in front of you day by day.
Doctor, as a New Yorker, as someone whose brother is an ER doctor, and just as a fellow human being, I thank you from the bottom of my heart, and I know all New Yorkers do.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Dr. Jessica Van Voorhees is an ER doctor at Methodist Hospital in Brooklyn, and I spoke with her this past Thursday. Doctors and nurses caring for COVID patients are facing a situation they've just never seen before. With no specific treatment for the virus available yet, patients are mostly being offered supportive care with the hope that the illness will eventually subside. And that has represented a huge shift in how many doctors are used to practicing medicine. Sana Joffrey is a physician at the Providence Regional Medical Center north of Seattle, and she's worked directly there with COVID patients. She spoke to the Radio Hour's Stephen Valentino last week about how her day-to-day work life has changed.
So my typical day before all of this pandemic really became an issue, I would see anywhere between 14 to 17 patients. And nowadays, I can see anywhere between 17 to, we are told to be prepared to see up to 25 patients a day. So my day begins with me making a list of patients that I know are positive, patients that are potential rule-outs, and then some regular patients who don't have coronavirus. And I try to see my patients who don't have coronavirus first, just so that there's less risk of exposure. And also to get a little bit more upbeat, you know. I think I myself, and probably a lot of my colleagues, I can say, you know, one of the best parts about being a doctor is that when you're taking care of these patients, you get to learn so much about them. Like, I will sit in their room, I'm talking to them about what life was like before they came here, what events are they looking forward to, and so that when I know about their healthcare issues, I know about them, their family, in a broader, you know, context. Whereas after this, I go see my COVID patients or COVID rule out patients, I will mask up like this. I wear gloves, I wear a gown, and then I wear another set of gloves. I wear a mask and then protective eyewear. And so they don't get to see me basically at all because I'm just eyes behind a mask and this protective eyewear. So they don't get to see if I'm smiling at them. And you lose a lot. You lose a lot in that. I don't get to sit there and hear about, you know, their niece's wedding that's coming up or how they manage at home or what they like to eat and things like this. It's mostly just business. And I don't get to know about them, which means that they don't stick in my mind like other patients used to.
It kind of sounds like being a COVID patient is kind of a lonely experience.
It is. It's very lonely. It's very lonely. You don't, you know, usually a typical patient will have a CNA, a nurse, some type of therapist who's coming to see them, and the doctor, if not multiple doctors. Whereas these patients will probably have all of these things, but once a day, you know, and the bare minimum. They might not be seeing physical therapists. They might not be seeing you know, occupational therapist or all the specialists, because again, the goal is to minimize exposure. So it's whatever is necessary. And they're not allowed visitors. So they have no family who can come and see them. And I think that's one of the, it's difficult. It is very difficult to be isolated in that room for multiple days.
Dr. Sana Jaffrey works at Providence Everett Hospital in Everett, Washington. And she spoke with the Radio Hour's Stephen Valentino.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.